We've been considering together over the last few weeks a series which we've entitled Bright Lights in a Dark Place. And we've been thinking about the northern kingdom of Israel in the days of the Old Testament after the kingdom divided. And what happened was that Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, took over as king of Israel, but nine of the tribes effectively rebelled and went their way. You could say ten, but one was already absorbed into Judah. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, took the kingdom of the northern part. And that's why when you read Kings and Chronicles in the Old Testament, it goes from one to the other. The king of Israel at this time was so-and-so, the king of Judah was so-and-so. And we've seen what a bright and shining light God provided for the people of that northern kingdom in the days, the dark days, of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And we look briefly at this bright light, Elijah, again, but then we move on to the chapter which we began to read this morning, where the prophet Elijah's words are fulfilled in the day of another prophet called Micaiah. And he is our bright and shining light this morning. And to set the scene, here is a rather gruesome verse. Chapter 21, verse 19, the Lord said to Ahab, "In the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." And these words were given to Elijah to pronounce to King Ahab because of an event which is quite scandalous. The 21st chapter begins with an introduction to this man, Naboth. He was a Jezreelite. That was a city in a valley in northern Israel. And he had a vineyard, and it was right next door to the palace of Ahab. And Ahab looked out and he saw this vineyard and he said, "I want that vineyard. I want it because it will make an excellent herb garden." Here was this man, and whether it was his livelihood, Naboth, certainly it was his inheritance. It was part of the land which God had given to him and his family. And Ahab wanted to make a herb garden so that he could have some parsley and some coriander. And doubtless some saffron. He'd have some saffron as well. But he wanted some herbs. And he went to Naboth, or called Naboth, we don't know. And he offered him money. Or another vineyard. If you want to see the darkness of that kingdom at its worst, well, look at the heart of Ahab. Naboth refused. And the reason he refused is because it was forbidden, as a Jew, to sell the land that God had given you, the land that was portioned to you as one of the tribes when the land was divided up, and it was God's land, and it was given to the people. And he said, "No, I'm not allowed to sell it to you." And Ahab went off and sulked. He came into his house heavy and displeased. He laid down on his bed. He turned away his face and would eat no bread. That's the sort of man he was. Sulking because he couldn't get his own way. And then in came Jezebel, and she effectively said, "Well, what's the matter with you?" And he said, "Well, I've asked Naboth and he won't sell me his vineyard. I want it for a herb garden, and I don't think it's fair. I think he should have sold it to me." And Jezebel said, "Well, who's king around here? Are you not the king of Israel? I'll get your vineyard for you." And Jezebel then had Naboth falsely accused of blaspheming God and the king. She didn't care tuppence about God. But this was the thought. She had him accused. She paid false accusers to come and to say that they'd heard Naboth and that he'd blasphemed against God and spoken against the king. And effectively, in a short time, he was found guilty and he was stoned to death. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned, Jezebel said to Ahab, "Come now, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. Naboth is not alive but dead." And here's the darkness. Verse 16, it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. What a callous individual he was. But then came Elijah. Verses 17 to 24 of that chapter, God speaks to Elijah, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it." And the brightest light was sent to confront the blackest darkness in Israel. So as Ahab was surveying his new prized possession, a shadow passed over his shoulder, and he turns to be faced by the one man he feared, Elijah. And what he says to him is quite revealing. "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" It was a case of mistaken identity, in a sense, because Elijah wasn't his enemy. He was the greatest friend, because he was the only one that told him the truth and tried to show him that he needed to turn to the living God. It was Elijah. But Ahab should have said, "Hast thou found me, O my friend? The only man who's ever told me what I really need to know. The man who could have brought me to God for forgiveness. The man who even now leaves open a door for repentance." And Elijah responds in that same verse, "I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord." He sold himself. The Bible says, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Ahab was not a true believer. He never had been. But he had great opportunity, and he sold the opportunity. His father was wicked, just like him, but he could have come onto the throne like some other kings did and put it right, begin to turn the people back to the true and living God. Well, we're not neutrals. Like Ahab, we're born on the wrong side of God's favour. But opportunities abound for us. We've heard, we have our conscience, which tells us that there is right and there is wrong, there is what God wants and there is what the world tells us. We have creation all around us, which shows us that there is a living God to whom one day we'll have to answer. And we have the gospel, the message of the truth, which has told us over and over again that God will forgive, he will receive us if we repent and turn to him. But our choice, naturally, has been to put ourselves in the slave market and sell our souls to a cruel master for scant reward. Elijah continues. He says, "Ahab, you're going to be judged. Your posterity will die out. You won't have any sons to reign. And because you've provoked the Lord, like Jeroboam, that first king who led the people of Israel away and made them two golden calves to worship instead of the true and living God." And he even said of Jezebel, "The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel." That was his wife. Well, Ahab repented, but it was very, very shallow. The Lord took note of Ahab's sorrow and terror. He knew Elijah always spoke the truth. He knew Elijah was always correct in his pronouncements that he made concerning the kingdom, concerning him. "Thus saith the Lord," was the word of Elijah. And he tore his clothes, he put sackcloth on his flesh, and he went softly. That means that he walked like a cat on a hot tin roof. The darkness that was Ahab was abated, but it didn't go away. God noted that Ahab was waking up and walking carefully, softly, and he spared him temporarily. But then we read in chapter 22 of a strange alliance. Jehoshaphat was the godly king, one of the eight out of 19, one of the godly kings of the southern kingdom in Jerusalem. And he came to visit Ahab. Why he did that? Maybe he'd heard of Ahab's so-called repentance. Or maybe he just wanted there to be peace between the two countries. But he went to visit Ahab. There'd been no war with Syria for 3 years. That was one of the major enemies, the Syrians, during the time of Ahab. And there hadn't been a war for 3 years. And we see an alliance now of light with darkness. Syria still held a city called Ramoth-Gilead that they captured from Israel. And Ahab decides to go to battle with Syria to get it back. And Jehoshaphat, who is visiting, agrees. But he went a bit over the top. He said, "I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." He was committing himself quite a lot to a man whose repentance was only skin deep. And yes, but he has repented now. He's going softly. But no, Ahab's repentance was skin deep, if that. We're told after Jehoshaphat had gone home, after the battle, he was met by Jehu, the son of Hanani. "Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." So we know that Jehoshaphat was quite wrong to go in that way. But his visit and the joining for battle against Syria does introduce us to another light in a dark place. And we read about it. Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Can we inquire of the word of the Lord? Before we go out to battle, shouldn't we see if it's God's will?" is what he was saying. So to keep Jehoshaphat happy, Ahab summoned 400 prophets. That should be enough to say that we're calling upon the name of the Lord. But these weren't true prophets of the Lord. They weren't converted. They weren't born again then. These were people who were probably the prophets which were designed to serve at the golden calves, because they surely wouldn't have asked the prophets of Baal, and Jehoshaphat wouldn't have asked them, besides which most of those had been destroyed. And so these prophets came out, and they all said, "Go, yes, yes, the Lord will be with you." And one called Zedekiah even constructed these horns of iron and said, "Look, this is how you're going to push Syria back, with these horns of iron." Jehoshaphat recognized false prophecy, and he said, "That's all very well. Have you got a true prophet? Haven't you got somebody who will actually bring us the word of the Lord?" And he said, and here is Ahab again. He says, "Well, there is this man Micaiah, but I hate him because he always says bad things about me, not good things." And Jehoshaphat was shocked. Don't speak like that. That's the wrong way to speak. Both kings were on thrones in robes, and they listened and watched as Zedekiah did his magic. "Micaiah, what do you say?" And Micaiah, to their surprise, said, "Yes, go and prosper, the Lord shall deliver it into your hand." And it was something in the way that he said it, his voice and his demeanour, King Ahab was embarrassed. Jehoshaphat knew Micaiah was just aping the other prophets, because that's what Ahab wanted to hear. And so the king said unto him, "Look, how many times shall I adjure you to tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord?" He was really between a rock and a hard place, because he knew that Jehoshaphat wanted to hear the truth, but he wanted to hear good news about a great prosperity that was going to happen. So Micaiah told him the truth. "Well, I'll tell you what I really saw. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills like sheep that have not a shepherd." And he commanded that Micaiah be thrown in prison. And Micaiah said, "Well, you won't come back from this battle." Well, to cut a long story short, the battle commenced. And Ahab decided to go in disguise. And he dressed himself just as an ordinary soldier. And Jehoshaphat went in his royal robes. And as the battle got hotter and hotter, the Syrians came out, and they were just about to kill Jehoshaphat when they realized, someone said, "No, hang on, this is the king of Judah. This is not Ahab, this is the king of Judah." And so they didn't. And they couldn't find Ahab, but God could. And a certain man, we read, drew a bow at a venture. And he fired an arrow into the air, and as it came down, it found the one gap in Ahab's armor and pierced it. And Ahab bled to death. And in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, whose vineyard he had stolen, the dogs licked Ahab's blood. Micaiah told the truth. Micaiah was another light in a dark place. And as I've reminded you each week so far, we live in a very dark time and a very dark place. The days which are really epitomised by what the Bible says is good being called evil and evil being called good. So many things which are happening in our society today, which are being accepted as good and right, which are evil in the sight of the Lord. We live in dark days, and it's time for us to be that light. How can we be that light? Well, the Lord Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." You don't hide that light under a bed or under a bowl. You let it shine. Let your light so shine before men. And the point is, do we know the Lord? Do we have that spiritual life? Do we have that which Ahab didn't have, which Elijah did have, which Jehoshaphat had? Do we have that Holy Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts? Have we come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him? Oh, may the Lord help all of us to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. Let's turn to